it from distance and off the post. What a goal! Philippe Coutinho. And then you get looking at the ball. Messi brings it down. In the box. Messi. Goal!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from Advantage BMW on Gray Street, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN975. We're with the winners here. People winning bicycles, remote control BMW cars, BMW bags. We're at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Eddie Robinson, Sam and Bonu. All down here, we're talking a lot of good things soccer-wise here. We're going to maybe switch gears here a little bit now. Again, second hour is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A moment here for John and his firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They will bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. Now, they're bilingual. All you have to do is call 713-322-HURT. Whether you're getting a car accident, motorcycle, it's a nervy time. Nobody wants that to happen to them, but you do need some representation. So you go to John Daspit, you go to the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, big supporters of this show for years. They help us get on the air. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the presentation and the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, here in the second hour. Also, King's Court. Place to be in Edo is King's Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. King's Court 13 monitors, all your soccer watching desires. They cover leagues from all over the world. El Batallón hangs out there. The supporters group from the Houston Red Army and Manchester United are there. You name it, they're there. British and Indian pub style cuisine, which we have here. And our thanks to Jay and his beautiful wife for helping cater this event here tonight. Thank you, Jay. There's people eating Jay's food as they're on their way out here. You got to love it. But it's kingscourthouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Jay. Great food, staff, and selection. It is a great place to watch soccer. Plus, they got the beautiful deck down there. All right, Eddie Robinson, Sam and Bonu, Afro Vibes, we welcome you back. All right, let's talk a couple topics around Major League Soccer here. Remarkably, no coach for the United States. 13 months in, we're all sitting here, not a peep from U.S. Soccer. Nothing being told about what's going on. The rumors are it's Greg Berhalter of Columbus. Initial thoughts. Everybody's up in arms. And the U.S. today, by the way, lost in stoppage time to Italy and Belgium 1-0 with a bunch of young guys today.
I can't help but wonder why Peter Vermees was never interviewed. He said it. He was interviewed. Tata Martina was never considered. Obviously, he's going to Mexico now. Good for him.
Oscar Not confirmed, Perea. Though. We'll talk about that in a second.
But. Oscar Perea, who is confirmed, is going to Mexico.
To Tijuana.
Was never interviewed. It's strange. It's just really strange. And when we have the connected soccer media that we have in this country, and there is something so big, there's always a leak. There's always a leak, a real serious leak, confirmable. You know it. Okay, it's just a matter of time. We hadn't heard it, and it's weird. It's just really strange to me. Granted, with the World Cup cycle now, there's 3 years. Assuming a head coach is named in the next few months, the U.S. Soccer just announced today that there's a friendly against was it Colombia or Costa Rica? I can't remember, in February.
Costa Rica
in February. So you have to assume that would be the first game for the new manager. He's going to have some time, but he's going to have a heck of a lot of expectations and weight placed on his shoulders.
All right. So first thing I would say here when looking at this whole scenario, if it is Greg Berhalter, whom everybody thinks it will be, by the way, he's got a brother, Jay Berhalter, high up in U.S. soccer. So there's going to be a portion of people that are going to cry nepotism. There's going to be a portion of people that are going to say, why did we wait to hire this guy when he could have had another 7 or 8 months with these young players right now to establish himself? Because, look, they're playing under a different coach in Dave Sarakin. This new coach is going to come in, and he's going to look at the players differently. It's good that they're getting experience, but it's gone on too long. That would have been fine for 4 or 5 months. I'm not sure about now. So people are going to say, why wasn't he released from Columbus during the regular season? The second thing that I think we need to consider, and I truly believe there is potential with this, with the embarrassment of the last couple games with the U.S. to a degree, I don't think it's out of the question that the U.S. could rethink Tata Martino and go in for an offer for him, because he would be the perfect guy to teach younger players. He has been there, done that. I think it could happen because it's not confirmed with Mexico, and there's other rumors around Mexico now, Lopetegui and all other people. And by the way, Sam, Mexico's situation does parallel the U.S. a little bit.
Yeah, it does. You know, and when you look at when you have a stopgap on that national level, you don't need to have it more than 120 days or 6 months at most, because you're trying to be a national team with an identity, you know, a national team with their style of play, you know, because national team don't come together all the time. You know, these are different players that are playing, you know, under different system, under different leagues. So when you have that little opportunity to work with them at national level, you bring them together. You have a coach that, okay, I already have my system, these my plans, and these, you know, or whatnot. But you don't have it. Now, Dave Sarakin is going to leave, and that coach is going to come in, like you rightly said. He's going to look at the players differently, trying to bring in his own. He has his own players. He has eyes for players that he think might fit his own system. You know, those that this interim coach work with, him and not work with all of them. And that kind of alter the whole system again. You have 3 years to the World Cup. Italy and USA are rebuilding, going to rebuilding phase. But Italy have Roberto Mancini already installed, so they're already building that team.
But Sam, the coach for the U.S., if appointed at the right time, would have had 7 months with this team already. That's a tremendous amount of time.
Well, here's my question is, if he comes in and he's expected to bring in the Christian Pulisics, the Josh Sargents, all of these young players like we saw today, Tyler Adams and Kellen Acosta, if he doesn't win games, he's judged strictly on that. Now, what if U.S. Soccer says to Dave Sarakin, you're going to be on the staff, but you've got 7 months, you're playing against England, you're playing against Italy, we want to see where young players are made of. You play the young players, we're going to put you on the staff. You're going to be an assistant coach. Take care of this, because we don't want our new coach to get embarrassed while he's trying out these young players, because every national team coach is based on results. Are you winning games, regardless of how young or how old your team is? So that it's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory, but
the first real test for this coach will be the Gold Cup, but his timeline with the team has been limited because he wasn't appointed early enough by about 7 months.
But now he's been given a lot of video and a lot of information to watch on these young players that maybe who he would have brought in, maybe he says, wait a minute, I'm not sure I can trust this player to help me win the Gold Cup, so maybe Josh Sargent doesn't get called in.
Well, look, you've been on teams where coaches have changed. All of a sudden, you got to establish yourself. I mean, that's why the career of Clint Dempsey at Fulham is amazing, because he had 4 or 5 different managers that the guy repeatedly had to prove himself to.
And he did.
Okay, and he did. And there were guys in the beginning that didn't rate him, and then he won him over.
So I mean, he ended up going to Tottenham.
That's why Dempsey's career is to me even more unbelievable, is how many managers he won over.
Yeah. And the funniest thing, the only game the U.S. won against Italy, he was his goal scorer.
Mm-hmm. Remember the goal he scored to keep his team in the Premier League?
In the Premier League.
Against Liverpool. Yeah. Does he want a testimonial, you think, Clint, or does he want to go bass fishing?
I'm sure both. The goal was it? Was it against Juventus in Europa League at Craven Cottage with Fulham?
Yeah, he scored a lot of big goals.
He scored an amazing.
He's a fantastic.
All right, so let me stay on the coaching side of this thing. Sam Mbomu, Afro Vibes, Eddie Robinson, former Dynamo defender, the color analyst on the Cube TV broadcast for the Houston Dynamo. Landon Donovan came out. He's a former teammate of yours. He came out and said it's got to be an American coach. It needs to be an American coach. Has to have ties to Major League Soccer. And there are a lot of good American coaches, which I agree with. But is he toeing the company line?
For sure. I don't see any reason why it has to be. I think it needs to be someone that knows Major League Soccer, that knows the American players, because there's been plenty of times where
Tata?
There was
does he jump your criteria?
where there was the Gold Cup and then the CONCACAF tournament the year before the World Cup for the winners of the Gold Cup, right? That we've had both, and they've won the Gold Cup with almost entirely MLS players. I think that they have enough quality, but I think you have to understand the American players' mentality. It's not as tough. It's not as hard as the kids that grew up in Europe, because when you grow up playing American soccer, you're coddled. We're still in that prima donna era. So you have to have a coach that understands this, that understands how to manage the mighty egos. Whether those egos are deserved or not, you have to understand how to manage them. And I think that that doesn't have to be an American person that does that.
What makes you think Tata Martino can't do that?
I didn't say that, but when you look at the makeup of his team, I mean, Julian Gressel is not American. Miguel Almiron, Tito Villalba, Joseph Martinez. I mean, he's got a lot of guys in his team that aren't American, that aren't young.
I've seen him stretch the game of Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Larenowitz at over 30 years of age. Absolutely.
Those guys are veterans, stone cold, hardcore. Came around.
But he's got them doing things like that they haven't been doing at 30 years of age. Michael Parkhurst said it on my radio show. I'll pull the quotes.
He said he
stretched my game. He's put me in positions that are somewhat scary as a defender now because of the high line we play, but I've been able to come through. He said it.
Yeah, that comes down to Michael Parkhurst just being a humble person. He doesn't give himself enough credit for how good of a player he is.
I have no worries about Tata Martino. And
I don't have any worries about it either.
Him managing American players because
– I'm just saying it doesn't have to be an American.
I've talked to Dario Sala on this show repeatedly for lengths of time, and he talks about how engaging this guy is, how he brings everybody into the process. But at the time he has to make decisions – takes full responsibility and accountability, and how he works with young players like Andrew Carlton of the under-20 national team.
Yeah, fair.
So there's nothing there that tells me I wouldn't want him walking into this job. I still think it's a possibility because I think the U.S. has been embarrassed. But, Sam, what's weird to me is where's U.S. soccer? Why aren't they saying anything? Why is this country lacks so much transparency when it comes to sport? What are we scared of? Why do we act like we're scared all the time? Why do we act second
freaking
rate?
The world.
Why do we set? Why do
accountability.
We? Why are we so lacking confidence sometimes?
Soccer across the world. All the soccer federations behave alike. You know, look at Germany. What's happening to the national team? DFB don't say anything. They gave him an extension that was last May for him to stay on
for Yogi Löw.
You know, Nigeria. We passed through the same phase. Our soccer federation, you know, we're silent, you know, experimenting on local Nigerian coaches, you know, and
yeah, but your federation's got a history of I don't even want to, I'm sorry, Sam, but I have to be honest here. Nigeria has had a bad history of politics and beyond belief, okay, with a lot less scrutiny than I think teams in Europe like Germany, which keeps them in line a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, it does happen like that. But when you look at other soccer federations, you know, they are not being open with a whole lot of stuff. You're talking about the U.S. Soccer Federation not being open with, you know, who's going to succeed the outgoing interim coach. You know, if they're open, by now we should have at least had like 3-4 names on the short list. Who are going to come in? But
mentioned a bunch of guys that should have been interviewed that weren't. Vermees, Pareja, why wouldn't you interview all of them? Even to get to know them if you're Ernie Stewart. Now, by the way, this is amazing what we're talking about, because we're talking about the U.S. not being transparent as a soccer federation, and we're talking about we want the Dynamo to be more transparent.
Right. I know.
So think of the parallels there and the consistencies. Why did we do that? Why are we like that? Why are we afraid to admit a mistake? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a sign of confidence.
It's a fear of accountability. You want to keep your job. You like where you are.
Self-preservation.
Yeah, of course.
It sounds like politics.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
All right. We're going to take a break. I think Eddie's got to go because Eddie told me that you know, under his contract tonight, 8:20, he's out. So Eddie's going to go. Sam's going to stick around. We're going to play an interview, too, coming up from Johnny Torres. Just got named the coach of Creighton. Johnny Torres' father played soccer with Sergio Martinez in here. His amazing story. His family went back to Colombia, and Johnny Torres was raised by a gentleman named Colin Clark. I'm sorry, not Colin Clark. That was your teammate. Carlos Clark. who Johnny, in this interview, will tell you was an incredible influence in his life and put it in the correct direction. He gets almost a little bit emotional. But he's played at Creighton, played in Major League Soccer, had an outstanding career, won the Herman Award as a top college player in the country, and he just got named the head coach of Creighton after
his ex-boss
playing
was my college coach.
Elmer Bolowicz
was my college coach.
So who's moved on. So this is a Creighton. This is a remarkable tie-ins here. So amazing stuff. We're going to run the Torres interview probably to end the show here tonight. We're going to come back. We're going to do more live stuff. Moment here for Daspit Law Firm. John and the Daspit Law Firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. Daspit Law, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. They'll have you covered for 24/7 nights and weekends. You'll get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm. They are our second hour presenting sponsor. Food tonight provided by the one and only Liberty Kitchen, Kings Court, and FM Kitchen and Bar, which is about a block north of Washington. That is a great spot to go in. I go in there a lot for lunch because it's near where I live. I shouldn't have said that. Because they may come hunt me down. All right, we're going to take a break, Bud Light break here. We are at Advantage BMW in Midtown. If you're out and about in the town, still time here. We got 40 minutes left here. Come on in, check the vehicles out, and come in here and maybe win something via the raffle. All right, we'll take a break. More to come. Bud Light break.
RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from Advantage BMW on Gray Street, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Advantage BMW in Midtown as we roll on here. Great night here down giving away gifts, all kinds of T-shirts and stuff. Rodrigo De Luna in the house as well. Rodrigo, grab a T-shirt, Rodrigo. BMW says you can take a Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. I need a water, please, Sergio. Sam Mbonu stays with us right now. We're going to welcome in Federico De Michelis. He has a podcast Toto Dynamo and Gambetta in Buenos Aires. He's been on the show before. And I want to switch gears a little bit to River Plate and Boca Juniors and get a little bit of your thoughts, Federico, on this big second leg this weekend. We were building this up on the show two shows ago because Copa Libertadores is something special. This is something special with River Plate and Boca Juniors. Obviously, this is the last time this format, one game at La Bombonera, one game at the Monumental. The first leg was unbelievably dramatic, 2-2. A couple of thoughts on this and why maybe it doesn't penetrate as much in the United States, because the Copa Libertadores, to me, is an amazing tournament.
It really is. And the first leg was unbelievable. It's hard to express what happens in South America when the final is finally being played. Not only the final, but the semifinals as well. But this one in particular, Boca-River, in Buenos Aires, it's the country stops. It stops. The first leg was incredible. We got to see Pity Martinez playing again. Now we're going to see a lot more of him in the MLS, hopefully.
Well, that's a done deal, I think. Atlanta.
I think so as well. Yeah, I think it is. And he's an extraordinary player. Extraordinary. I mean, completely off what one thinks. It's possible, you know, he does the opposite. You know, so it's fantastic. It's great. It's going to be at Monumental. The first leg was at Boca Juniors. Monumental has 65,000, 66,000 capacity in there. It's going to be incredible. Unfortunately, in Argentina, we don't have away fans going to see the final. But you know, it's going to be fair in terms of Boca Juniors was full of.
Yeah, let's explain that to the audience. The first leg, no traveling fans are allowed, so it's full Boca fans. It was a 2-2 draw with River Plate. Now it goes back to the Monumental.
That's right.
It's totally River Plate fans, so does that give them the advantage in the second leg?
I mean, it does in case they go, for example, to penalties or you know, the extra time, the extra 30 minutes. There's not going to be away goals. Whoever scores, scores, and that's, you know, it counts for what it is. And we are all very excited. In Argentina, nobody's talking about anything else.
Just going back to Pitty Martinez, when you look at Miguel Almiron and the way he plays the game in the system that Atlanta has, if in fact they, and I would assume they're going to continue with this type of a system, and Guillermo Barrascaloto, who is the manager now at Boca, is one of the rumored potentials at Atlanta United. Tell me the differences between Pitty Martinez and Miguel Almiron in the way they play, because they do play differently.
They do. They definitely do. I think Pitty's faster in terms of thought. I think he has the game a bit more clear than Almiron. Almiron is very, very explosive in terms of attack.
Like shot out of a cannon.
Yes. And Pitty Martinez is a bit more of a traditional South American player that can, you know, in 1 second get one or two players off and, you know, find a good pass or find a good shot from somewhere. They're different. Now, it's funny that Schelotto is the coach that's sounding for Atlanta, because right now they're facing, you know, each other in the final. But I'm sure Schelotto has to be very familiar with Pitty Martinez and has to have studied him a lot, especially for these instances of the Copa.
I want to take both of you into, because both of you guys do work with the sport of soccer. It's your passion. You love it. Federico, you have Toto Dynamo and Gambetta in Buenos Aires. You work with Afro Vibe, Sam. I know you do a lot of other writing and other things around it and other broadcasting. What does soccer mean to you?
Soccer means life to me. I breathe soccer, I eat soccer, I sleep soccer. You know, soccer revolves around my daily activity. You know, and soccer is served as a way for you to express yourself. You know, soccer is an act. That's why on the field of play, you see players doing amazing things with their feet, and you'll be like, how can he do that? You know, so soccer to me means life. It's everything you can think of. That's why in Africa, the African Cup of Nations is the biggest soccer showpiece, you know, in the continent.
Give us an update on it.
You know, 9 countries have already qualified for the African Cup of Nations. Nigeria, host country, Cameroon, Senegal, Mali, Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt. That means we're going to see Sadio Mane and Mo Salah in the Nations Cup. But the fact now is this. This should be the third time the African Nations Cup will be played in the summer, because it was kind of affecting the value of African players out there in the European market. Imagine in January when they normally play it, you know, and your club is having the league match, Champions League, and domestic cup, and your star player immediately leaves and goes for national assignment for the African Cup. So it kind of diminishes the value of African players. So CAF, you know, they came together and said, okay, let's see if we can switch it to summer, because in the summer it rains, but they can contain it. But, you know, during January, it's commonly a dry season. You know, so that's the biggest soccer showpiece in Africa.
Okay, now I need to stop you now because we got 2 or 3 minutes.
All right.
But I want to make sure that I plug what you guys are doing. So, Sam, tell people where they can find you, and then, Federico, we're going to do the same with you.
All right, you can go to Google Play Store, search for Afro Vibes Radio Houston, download the app, and enjoy all the wonderful programs we have. Or you can log on internet, afrovibesradio.com.
And by the way, Sam has got a great, unique perspective, and he's going to be back on this show quite a lot. And, again, this show's on podcastarena.com and iTunes Soccer Matters. Don't forget that. Federico, how about you? Where can we find you, Toto Dynamo, I know?
We are at Toto Dynamo on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm collaborating also with La Plata, GambettaLaPlata.com, which is a very good media down there in Buenos Aires, talking about MLS and things like that.
Guys, you know what you are? You're treasures to our soccer community. And we need to acknowledge more guys like you. And that's why this show for me has always been about putting the spotlight on others like yourselves. Keep up the great work. Thank you for coming in here tonight. And we're going to take a quick break here. Sam, thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Glenn.
Federico, thank
always
you as always.
Thank you. Thank
much
you.
Appreciated, guys, and keep up the great work. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Again, we remind you this second hour is presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Again, a big thank you tonight to Kings Court down in Edo. Jay and his beautiful wife are here tonight. My favorite friend, your little daughter, is not here, but I miss her a lot because we played soccer in your your bar restaurant one time, which was fun, amongst the pool tables. It was a good time. She liked me, too. She was a super cutie. We also had Carl Leaves and Liberty Kitchen in here, Lance Fegan and company. They were in. And then we had FM Kitchen, my good friend Ryan over there, and then Chong, who is a partner over there and owner of FM Kitchen. So these are great places to go, Kings Court, FM Kitchen, and Liberty Kitchen. And the reason I want you to support the people that support this show is because you keep soccer on the air. So we do thank that. We've got the charitable aspect still going on here. We're going to be here for another 25 minutes. We are going to take a Bud Light break right now. When we come back, it's an amazing Houston story. Johnny Torres grew up playing on the fields here in Houston, just been named the coach of Creighton after becoming the number one player in the college game. Grew up right here in Houston in Dickinson, Texas. Got to take care of that Houston soccer history and lore, because there are a ton of kids out there and a ton of stories that have gone on to do great things. Houston makes when it comes to soccer. The world takes. Take a break.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Advantage BMW on Gray Street, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're winding it down here live from Advantage BMW in Midtown in Houston here. And a big thank you again tonight to Carl Leaves, Liberty Kitchen, Ryan and Chong from FM Kitchen, and Jay and his wife from Kings Court. Also, Philip Southwick and everybody here at Advantage BMW who's been so kind to us tonight. Mr. 26, who was spinning some wonderful sounds here tonight. And Justin and Sergio from Advantage BMW in Midtown for hosting us and sponsoring Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to tally up the money that we've raised here tonight for the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, and we'll get that done, and we'll get that out here by our next show. Also, we're still down here for another 20 minutes, but I want to remind you that the third Thanksgiving is going to be held. Free food at King's Court. How about this? 2 to 9 p.m., they do curry, they do traditional turkey. 2 to 9 p.m. on Thanksgiving. This is a wonderful thing that King's Court and Jay does. Again, Thanksgiving Day, 2 p.m. to 9 p.m., traditional turkey and curry, Indian style. Get down to Edo and free Thanksgiving dinner. How about that? If you don't have a place to go, go down to the King's Court. Okay, this second hour, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John, I don't know if you're listening tonight, but if you are, thank you very much for the sponsorship of this show. A big thanks to Advantage BMW. Time now to hear about a great local Houston story. Johnny Torres grew up in Dickinson, Texas. Went on to play in Major League Soccer, was an All-American at Creighton, and also was a number one player in the country, winning the Herman Award, which is equivalent to the Heisman Trophy on the American football side. Here's my interview with Johnny Torres. All right. With that, we bring on a great Houston story here. As you know, part of my job, I feel like, with this show is to remind people when all these great talents from Houston go elsewhere and make things happen. I want to tell you about Johnny Torres. Grew up here in the Houston area playing his youth soccer here. Went into Major League Soccer with the New England Revolution, Miami Fusion, Chicago Fire, Minnesota Thunder, ton of different teams. Outstanding player, won the Herman Award as the top collegiate player in 96-97. But the good news here is Johnny Torres has been involved in the coaching game now for a number of years. At 42 years of age, he's now been named the head coach of Creighton University. Johnny joins us now. Johnny, thank you so much for coming on. First off, congratulations on the appointment of becoming the head coach of Creighton University.
Thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you for having me on the show. I've followed your career as I was growing up in Houston, Texas, and I'm delighted to still be in contact with you and to have you on my to have you on your show.
Well, you know what I always said? I'm going to steal this from Trenton, New Jersey. Houston makes... The world takes, and the world took Johnny Torres to a great place called Creighton. How excited are you to become the head coach of Creighton now?
I'm delighted. You know, years ago I was able to go up to Omaha, Nebraska to study and play there at Creighton University, and I'm delighted to be able to say that I'm now, after being an assistant there for 12 years, now the head coach at Creighton University. So I'm just I'm ecstatic.
But this is incredible because, you know, you went to school there, you played there. There's a reason you got drawn back to the university, right? It goes beyond soccer, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I studied at Creighton from 94 to 98, when I got drafted to go into the MLS, I always knew that the Omaha community and Creighton University was a special place. And I always envisioned myself of potentially coming back and raising my family. I just didn't know exactly how that was going to take place. But after playing professionally for 11 years, I found myself back in Omaha to finish up my last semester of my degree and was fortunate enough to get offered an assistant position on the men's side by the same coach that recruited me in 1994, Bob Warming.
Bob, you know what? Bob Warming, long time. I was playing college soccer when Bob was the coach at Barry University in Georgia, believe it or not, before he went on to even other things after that. So that's great from Bob Warming. So, look, you're back at the university now, and you're in charge. Obviously, you know things top to bottom there, how it works, how it is to be a Blue Jay. I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, how has the college game changed now in recent years?
You know what, to be honest with you, I think the landscape in regards to the playing the game has changed a little bit as, you know, as world soccer has changed. I think, obviously, the kids nowadays are growing up seeing a different brand of soccer than maybe you and I saw growing up. And I think that that just has to do with the amount of exposure that there is now for the world game. You know, I know growing up, it was tough to watch. It was tough to find soccer on TV. You know, I watched it quite a bit on the Spanish channel, and from time to time there'd be some soccer on ABC or maybe ESPN. But I think the college game has changed as world soccer has changed. I think it's become more of our disposal to be able to see world soccer now, and so with that, I think comes change. And obviously, we're at a pivotal point now in American soccer, and that we didn't make the World Cup this last summer. And I think maybe we'll see a shift in the landscape of American soccer.
Now, for those that sometimes don't give college soccer credit, what would you say to them? Because you played 4 years in the college game, you went into Major League Soccer, you had a long career, played a lot of games with the New England Revolution. You also played a lot of games indoor with the Milwaukee Wave. What would you say to those people about where the college game fits in to our soccer landscape here in the United States?
You know, I would say that it is a platform for our youth to develop and to go on to bigger and better things and playing professionally, whether that's in the MLS, the USL, or even overseas. I think what would help us moving forward in that development is maybe if we would be able to help grow our sport in the sense that maybe we could get on the same calendar as the rest of the world. And I know there's been this push for a year-round model for NCAA Division I soccer where we're playing one game per week and starting our season in August. And now ending our season in late April, early May, we're able to train and compete the entire year, or maybe 9 months out of the year, and be able to help in that regard in regards to developing our student athletes. Now I know that the model we're in currently is an old model, but just like anything else, things evolve, right? We learn from history and we learn from our past, and I think it's time to try and refine our original model and do all we can to get the NCAA to buy into the split season model, which would help us tremendously with the development of our student athletes in regards to soccer.
So essentially doing it over two semesters. Yeah, we've talked about that on the show. Johnny Torres played soccer at Dickinson High School, played his youth soccer right here. He was a high school All-American. He was the number one collegiate player in the country in 96 and 97. I'd be remiss because I knew your adopted father, Carlos Clark, and I would be remiss not to mention him in this. How important has he been to your life?
Oh, geez. Completely pivotal to who I've become and where I've been. If it were not for my adoptive father, Carlos, and my adoptive mother, Marcella, and even their biological son, Carlos Jr., I would not be the person I am today. I give all credit to the Clark family that was so gracious to let me in at the tender age of nine, and to their family and take me under their wing. And I mentioned Carlos Jr. as well because Carlos was he was an only child up until the age of nine when I was adopted, and not once did he ever in our fits of brotherly love, not once did he ever throw that back in my face and say, hey, you're not from this family or you don't belong to our family. I mean, not once. And we had our normal quarrels and fights that brothers and siblings may have, but yep. Never did he ever throw that back at me, which to this day I just am bewildered by the poise and the unselfishness that he had in regards to allowing me to come into his family and treat me as one of his own.
Wow. That's amazing testimony there, and that's probably the most influential testimony we'll hear on this show here tonight. So I appreciate you taking us into that entire story. But I remember Carlos here in Houston when I was involved in the youth game, when you were playing back in those days. And he was a wonderful guy and just remarkable to see these stories. I mean, it's so exciting for me to see guys like you and then remember you on the fields here in Houston and just go, you know,
yeah.
Hey, he's running one of the most noted programs in the country now at Creighton University. You got Chris Bondi at, I believe, Northeastern. You got Chad Riley, another Houston guy who's at Notre Dame. You know all these guys. You got Carlos Samuano, who's at North Carolina, who are all Houston area guys who really learned and cut their teeth in the game here on the fields in our city. And we don't celebrate this enough. And I don't think there's enough people out there that even know about this at some levels. And we need to. And that's why you're on the show here tonight.
I appreciate it. No, it's awesome. I have fond memories of Bear Creek Park. I have fond memories of, you know, tournaments that we took over Thanksgiving and over Easter break. And, you know, our breaks were always on the road. Or like I said, in Bear Creek Park or Meyer Park or, oh man, the list goes on and on with, you know, some of the big time coaches that we had there for the Texans and, you know, the Roy Reese and the Archie Beggs and obviously yourself and growing up and watching you play. I mean, it's great to see.
Yeah, it's very prideful too, and I think part of the reason why is I got to get Johnny on the show is the prideful aspect of it here in Houston. Now, I want to say something to you, Johnny. When I look at that stadium that Creighton plays in, is there as good a stadium in the country? I mean, I look at that and I go, that's just incredible. What a facility you guys play in.
It's unbelievable. We're fortunate to have a community and an administration and a university that supports soccer the way that it's supported. That's a soccer-specific $13 million stadium, and it doesn't get much better than that. It's definitely top three in the country, and it's an unbelievable place to come and watch a soccer game. So, unfortunately for me, we did not have that when I was playing here. We were actually 17 miles from campus in a public park. Nonetheless, great memories that I had at playing at Tranquility Park. But boy, are we lucky.
So that was Johnny Torres, another one of the prideful players that came from the Fields of Dreams here in Houston, Texas, that have gone on to big things. Now the head coach at Creighton University in Nebraska now, and just wonderful catching up with Johnny, and another one of the great stories
that we have. A lot of people to thank here tonight down at Advantage BMW Midtown, including Philip Southwick, Sergio, Justin, and all the staff here at Advantage BMW that had to work around us while we did the show. For everybody that showed up and contributed tonight and bought T-shirts and mugs and Soccer Matters gear, 50% of that, again, is going to the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. The ladies who came down and helped do the ESPN promo booth, a big thank you to both of them who came here tonight. Tyler Scott down here doing the engineering. And, of course, Victor Ariza and back in studio, Harrison. PodcastArena.com and iTunes is where you can catch up on these shows. I suggest you take a good listen to the show that had the new president, John Walker. We're very excited about him coming into the Dynamo and bringing something new and different and vibrant and exciting. And also on that show was Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. So lots of people to thank here tonight. Camilo Rojas, who helped us out with some of the beer here tonight, including some Carbach and Bud Light, also some Stella Artois. And then also the great restaurants that stepped up in a big way. Liberty Kitchen. Get to those locations in Houston. Carl Eves. Our good friend Ryan over at FM Kitchen, which is a block north of Washington Avenue. And then Jay from Kings Court. And Jay just mentioned that from 2 to 9 p.m. they're going to be open on Thanksgiving, serving free dinners. So if you need a place to go for Thanksgiving, Victor Ariza's eyes just popped out of his head. He's probably heading down to Edo to get that turkey dinner over at King's Court. All right, that's going to do it tonight. Remember, Soccer Matters. Again, podcast, podcastarena.com, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening in. And a big thank you to Advantage BMW Midtown.